The following podcast is a W2M Network original production. Visit W2Mnet.com for all of our other great podcasts, plus news, reviews, articles, and opinions from the worlds of wrestling, video games, football, and entertainment.
Okay, so it's been a while since I've done this, so let me sure I remember how to do this correctly. You ready, Brandon?
Yep.
Wrestling to the Max, 205 Live. And now, your hosts, Harry Broadhurst and Brandon Bitzkabing.
Not bad. No, not bad at all.
Oh, good enough for government work. I'll take it.
Good evening, afternoon, whenever you're listening, everybody, and welcome as we are live to tape to the W2M Network with the Wrestling to the Max 205 Live review here for Tuesday, September 4th, 2018, even though we are technically recording on Wednesday, September 5th, 2018. Who's counting? I am your host. My name is Harry Broadhurst. And joining me, the Colin Kaepernick to my Pat Tillman, Brandon Bitzkabing.
Okay, then.
That's a deep cut.
Yeah. That one was okay.
You're like, I am not touching that. You are on your own.
Nope. Not touching that with a 20-foot pole.
We don't usually get political on these shows. What are you doing? But anyway, so this is going to be the 205 Live review. And since we already discussed all the other shows that we do on at the end of the SmackDown review, you know what I'm going to do here for the 205 Live review, Brandon? You know what I'm going to plug?
What?
I'm going to plug the new format for the kickoff starting tonight.
Okay.
So, those of you who don't know, Brandon and I also do another non-wrestling-related podcast here on the W2M Network. We call it The Kickoff. It is about college football and the NFL. Don't worry. We get significantly less political there than I did at the start of 205 Live.
Except for that one episode.
Yeah, well, it happens. Every now and then, stuff bleeds over. What can you do? But, anywho, so, what we're going to discuss here is that starting tonight, we have kind of an updated format for the kickoff here. A lot of the segments that you know and love are going to stay the same. We're still going to open with Studs and Duds. We're still going to have our discussion segment with Buy or Sell. So that happened, we'll still break down the news. Get it together, we'll still call out the teams that need to, well, get it together. Are You Serious has a new twist this year, in that in college football, it has to be unranked over ranked or a bare minimum of a 7-point spread. In the NFL, it has to be at least 5. Because anything 3 or less is basically considered a pick 'em. Because home field's worth 3, as you may know, Brandon.
Yes.
So the spread for our NFL picks has to be at least 5 points. We introduce a new segment tonight on the kickoff as well, replacing the Lane Train because its conductor left the station mid-season last year. We still pulled that sumbitch around, though. But we introduce Pour One Out for the Homers as we take that segment to talk about our favorite teams, both college and NFL. Well, NFL in Brandon's case, he doesn't really have a college team.
Nope.
They need to start playing some FCS football at Seton Hall, Brandon.
The only thing they ever had was back in, like, I don't think they've had a team since, like, the 80s, and it was D3.
All the same, y'all need to get it together. See what I did there. That'll be tonight on the kickoff here on the W2M Network. As for now, we have an episode of 205 Live to get into, so what do you say we do so?
Let's do it.
All right, our opening contest scheduled for one fall.
One fall.
After our opening video package narrated, as per usual, by Drake Maverick, author of Pain. What? I think the only reason he's with them is because he's so small he makes them look even bigger by comparison.
Probably. Sounds about right.
Not to mention, Maverick actually is a pretty decent little talker, so
And let's be honest, Akeem and Rezar could use, or Akeem and Rezar could use all the help that they can get on the microphone. Anywho, our opening contest, as mentioned, scheduled for one fall.
One fall.
Continues the beef between Team Beef. They need a tag team name. Maybe Where's the Beef? Buddy and Tony Nese. And the Lucha House Party. The Loser House Party, if you're Nigel.
Or me.
Go ahead.
Yeah, Loser House Party is accurate.
If you're Nigel, anyway.
I said, or me.
As Tony Nese takes on Grand Metalik. Don't look now, but these two actually had a cracker, Brandon.
Yeah, it was a good match.
I have never been sold on Metalik. I don't know what it is. I don't buy him. I don't like his style. I don't view his style as legitimate. I think a lot of the stuff that he does comes off very hokey.
He's just boring. He's basically... I mean, all WWE luchadors are the prototype for what I talk about, but him especially, it is very much, you know, generic luchador number five.
Well, in this instance, though, generic luchador number five brought it to the man with the golden abs, Tony Nese series. These two actually beat the snot out of each other for 11 minutes. Metalik kicks up the win with a rope walk elbow drop, but a couple of things that I wanted to talk to you about here were, first of all, the Hurricane Rana off the apron to the floor, where if not for Tony Nese saving Grand Metalik, he would have completely eaten shit. And the second thing that I want to talk about to the floor by Metalik, where Nese got the feet up and then threw Metalik back in and hit a picture perfect 450.
Yeah, I mean, it was a good match all in all, but I mean, the one thing that I will say, not so much about the match itself, but this whole entire thing is, when is this feud going to end? Like, it seems like these two groups have been feuding for months now.
Well, they just came off the Tornado tag match a couple of weeks ago, and now they're going into singles matches here. And I don't know if you saw it or not, but they announced that Metalik would be taking on Buddy Murphy next week as well, so it doesn't look like it's coming to a close anytime soon.
Well, that seems to be what they seem to be doing consistently, is they keep on going back and forth between tag matches and then singles matches between all of these guys.
Overall thoughts on the match, though?
The match was good. Would have liked to have seen Nese get the win, but so be it. You know, it is what it is.
Well, I think the Juggernaut puts Metalik down next week, so.
I hope so.
Drake Maverick warns the referee to be on the watch for Alexander Gulak's confrontation. Mustafa Ali comes in, questions Maverick about his association with the AOP, to which Drake gets very snippety with him, a sign of a potential heel turn for Maverick. Well, at least on the 205 Live brand. And says that Ali is not to step into the ring again on 205 Live until Maverick says it's okay. I actually kind of like this. Ali was all about rushing back in order to get himself a piece of a Tommy. Maverick's trying to look out for the well-being of the show from a... Wouldn't be an episode of these podcasts if one of us didn't lose the connection at least once, right, Brandon?
Yeah, pretty much.
All right, anyways, as I was saying, is I kind of get where Maverick's coming from here. Just from both a fiscal standpoint of not wanting to cost the company money by having an athlete participate before he's ready, but also a perception standpoint of not wanting to look like the inmates are running the ship for Maverick. It makes sense, right?
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense, but also even, you know, yeah, you were talking about a potential heel turn for Maverick. You can look at it on a face level, too, of Maverick genuinely trying to protect Ali from himself. You know, basically like, you know, a coach would do in football or any other sport of saying, hey, slow it down, you don't want to have an even more serious injury occur as a result.
Our second match, scheduled for one fall.
One fall.
Is Noam Dar taking on Brian Kelly? If you're wondering who Brian Kelly is, it doesn't matter who... Sorry.
You're not wrong.
Hey, Brandon.
Yeah?
What's that smell?
I smell squash.
I smell squash, too. Oh, we forgot to do our glacier bit on the last
episode. Yeah, we did.
Okay, cool. We have something to wrap up tonight's show with. All right, awesome. Anyway, Noam Dar picks up the win with the Nova Roller, the rolling knee strike to the side of the head of Brian Kelly at 2 minutes and 25 seconds. The important thing to discuss here for Noam Dar, though, is who was on commentary for this match in order to set up Noam Dar's next feud. And in case you guys don't know who that is, we'll tell you who he is, because he came to collect.
It's a 23-year-old piece of gold.
Everything that I see from Leo Rush, I am constantly impressed over and over again. He more than held his own on commentary here.
Mm-hmm.
Everything that he has done in the ring has looked so fluid. I mean, granted, he's working with a guy like Tozawa. It's hard not to look fluid when you're working with Tozawa. But it'll be interesting to see how he does with somebody a little bit less experienced, like Noam Dar, who maybe their paths might not have crossed as often as perhaps Akiris and Leo's might have in the past. With Noam being based out of the UK and not really traveling over to the States for an independent journey as much as maybe a guy like Tozawa did coming over for companies like Dragon Gate USA and PWG. Anything to add here besides the smell of the vegetable of the choice?
I mean, like we mentioned before, Leo Rush has definitely proven himself. Not just, I mean, everyone knew coming into the company that he was going to be great in the ring, but he has definitely proven himself very good on the mic as well.
Cedric Alexander comes out to ringside and calls out Drew Gulak. Drew Gulak does not respond. Well, that makes sense, though, because Gulak's going to fight on Gulak's terms, not Cedric's. Mm-hmm. I completely get where they're going with that. That makes sense to me. The match itself that follows, though, as Alexander is interrupticist, is by the original Cruiserweight champion, one TJP, TJ Perkins. TJ talks about the fact that he likes the side plates that Gulak has on the belt, but let's not forget that the main plate on that belt was originally created for Perkins, which I thought was a really good line. Alexander says that if he wants a crack at him, you can step on up. TJP says he has nothing better to do, so they start circling. Drake Maverick's music hits, and in the spirit of Teddy Long, Drake makes a tag match. Oh, no, he doesn't. Spirit of Vicky Guerrero, it's a singles match.
This is where you say playa.
Playa?
Cedric Alexander takes on...
It doesn't work. Singles match.
It does, too. It's the Vicky Guerrero special. Excuse me! As Cedric Alexander takes on TJP in our main event here. The match itself goes... Hold on, let me get to the bottom of it. 11 minutes and 20 seconds. Cedric Alexander once again retaining. He has yet to be defeated in 2018. Alexander picks up the win with the lumbar check, but that's not what I wanted to discuss. Holy brain busters, Batman. Okay, so I'm going to warn everybody listening at home to turn down the volume on their podcast. Because if you don't turn down the volume on your podcast, then I'm not to blame for what happens next. Do you remember the spot that I'm referring to?
I believe so, but refresh my memory.
Where it looked like TJP's trying to counter out of something, Alexander grips him, hooks him for a vertical suplex, and it looks like he kind of tried to turn it into the lumbar check in midair, but doesn't quite get TJP all the way over.
Mm-hmm.
And ends up brainbustering him instead. And when I say brainbuster, I mean high and tight on the shoulders.
Yeah. Yeah.
For those of you wondering, this is me in real time watching that. Okay. Okay. were warned to turn down your volume.
This is the high impact show.
And might I add, I mean, high impact is one thing. Dropping a guy on his godforsaken head is a completely different thing, isn't it?
Yeah, but that's what happens.
That's what happens, man. That's what happens. In the end, Alexander picks up the win with the Lombard check here. How do you think TJP did here?
Go ahead.
Real quick, the issue I have with TJP getting the shot here is the last time we saw TJP, wasn't he getting pinned by Noam Dar?
Yes.
So what credibility does he have to be going one-on-one with the champion?
None right now, but I mean, they still can play off of the whole he was the first ever Cruiserweight champion. So, I mean...
There's a lot of history between these two as well, because if I'm mistaken, they've actually feuded before when TJP turned heel a little bit earlier on in the show's run. So.
Yes, I believe they did.
So, I mean, there's a story to be there's a story to be told there, and I get that. I completely get it. But at the same time, credibility becomes an issue for TJP when the only thing he's really been doing since he dropped that title is putting over other people, i.e. Noam Dar, or last week or the week before that he lost
it. I think it was 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, I think it was the week before as well. What were your thoughts on the match?
I mean, the match was okay. You know, these two can definitely go. And in-ring-wise, it was a good match. I just wish that TJP got more opportunities and whatnot. Because, like you mentioned, he's basically being used as a glorified jobber now. And... It's very disappointing for him.
Post-match, Drew Gulak's music hits, and he confronts Cedric Alexander and wants to take Cedric up on his offer. Cedric, being the fighting champion that he is ready to take on Gulak until he gets cracked from behind by Jack Gallagher. A 2-on-1 beatdown commences, ending with Gulak locking Alexander in the Gulak. As we go off the air with Gulak making his way back up the ramp, Gallagher in tow, making the motion around his waist that he wants the Cruiserweight Championship, and that sends us off the air for the show. Your thoughts on our ending segment?
I mean, it's what you expect from, you know, the heels is, you know, Gulak getting the distraction and then Kendrick, or Gallagher rather, attacking from behind as a result. And, you know, it's definitely something that works to build the feud up even further than it already has.
That officially wraps us up for this episode of 205 Live. Brandon, where do you fall? Scale of 1 to 10.
I'll give it a 6.5. Nothing too crazy really to write home about on this episode. You know, Noam Dar gets some more momentum. The whole thing between Lucha House Party and Nice and Murphy continues. And, you know, TJP and Cedric put on a pretty good match, but, you know, the credibility and the suspense and the anticipation for a match like that is kind of gone now because of how far Perkins has fallen.
I'm actually, you know how it's a point lower than you on SmackDown?
Are you a point higher than me here?
I'm a full point higher than you here. I give this episode a 7.5. The reason I go 7.5 is because we had a pair of really good matches in the opener and the main event. And the squash match that fell in the middle at least had a purpose in order to set up Noam Dar and Lio Rush here. I thought this was a very well-together episode of 205 Live. One-word review, Brandon. What do you got?
I'll say continuation. You know, the whole feud between Lucha House Party and Murphy and Nice continues. You know, they did kind of start a feud a little bit with Dar and Lio, but then the whole thing between both with TJ continuing to lose, that continues, and also we continue to build the feud between Gulak and Cedric.
Okay, so technically speaking, is ah a word?
I guess it works.
Let me think. Let me see if I can't find something a little bit more specific. Let's go with thorough.
Okay.
I like the way that they tell the stories on 205 Live. They don't always necessarily pay off the greatest way. I still think Gulak should be the champion right now. That should have paid off at SummerSlam. But at the same time, I like how they extend things and they keep things going long enough that if the fans choose to care enough to stay in the arena, and let's be honest, that arena was very empty when 205 Live was airing. But the fans that do care enough to stay in the arena are being treated to some excellent matches and some pretty decent little stories back and forth in those matches as well. This has been the 205 Live Review. We are a presentation of the W2M Network. We are available on iTunes, iHeartRadio, Spreaker, Podbean, CastBox, Stitcher. Hey, Brandon, guess what?
Spotify is here.
And Glacier is coming. Seriously, Jason needs to make that happen.
Yeah, he does.
We'll talk to Jason. Jason Teasley, one of our co-hosts on the kickoff.
Football has arrived as well.
And hopefully we can get Glacier to do the introduction. Oh, can we get Glacier to do the introduction for 205 Live?
Would he have counted as a cruiserweight back then?
That's a good question. I don't know what Ray Lloyd weighed back then. I mean, I'd assume he was probably close to 205, maybe a little bit over. He might have been in the WCW cruiserweight.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I'm like, you know, because the current cruiserweight division is smaller than the original.
Well, I would say, yeah, maybe in the WCW one of 225.
Yeah.
Maybe not in the WWE one of 205.
Yes.
But in fairness, if the WWE stuck to the 225 weight limit,
like half the roster would be in it.
Yeah. AJ Styles, Daniel Bryan, and Seth Rollins.
Yeah.
It would all be cruiserweights. So I can kind of see why they lowered the weight limit a little bit. He's Brandon Biskobing. I'm Harry Broadhurst. This has been the Wrestling to the Max 205 Live Review for Tuesday night, September 4th, 2018. Hey, Brandon.
Yep.
The kickoff is next.
Yes.
Football's back, baby.
Woo, woo.
We'll see you tonight. We'll see you tonight for the kickoff, regular season episode 1, here on the W2M Network. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you next Tuesday.